The main points. The 2024 Olympic Games officially opened last night in France with several heads of state, including President Paul Biya, taking part in the ceremony on the Seine River in Paris. Curtains will be drawn on the 13th edition of the Government Action Fair Sago in Yaoundé this Saturday. A convicted mass murderer in South Africa, known as the Apartheid Killer, has died at the age of 72. The President of the Republic, Paul Biya, has held talks with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, in Paris, France. Both heads of state opened frank discussions on bilateral ties between Cameroon and France in several domains. CRTV's special envoy to Paris, Francis Achu Nyenti, he comes back on the salient issues discussed by the two statesmen.
Paul Biya left his temporary residence, Four Seasons George V Hotel in Paris, around 1 p.m. this 26 July 2024, to head to an important tete-a-tete with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, at the Presidential Palace. On this day, the Élysée Palace is at its best, resplendent and magnificent, with breathtaking floral diversity, the work of a millennial civilization and symbol of presidential prestige and power, especially in the French Fifth Republic. Paul Biya was welcomed on arrival at the foot of the staircase of the French Presidential Palace by a member of the Élysée Protocol. On seeing the head of state, the 10-man beautifully dressed honors guard, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Raffaut, steadied the assault in honor. A little up the staircase, Emmanuel Macron was ready to welcome his guest. They both posed for the cameras with broad smiles transmitting warmth, friendship and mutual respect. Indeed, this meeting is a retrouver between Biya and Macron, who have met several in Paris and Yaoundé since Macron came to power. The accompanying delegation members took their seats in an adjoining apartment, while Paul Biya and Emmanuel Macron concentrated on their man-to-man talk, looking relaxed, mutually interested, and politically intimate in one of the rooms of the Élysée, a local church with historical significance. The meeting lasts for about 40 minutes behind closed doors, not much filtered out. However, there are indications the tete-a-tete centered around the evaluation of the state of cooperation between Yaoundé and Paris since they last met, especially as much has been done at the ambassadorial level to stimulate all aspects of these relations. Emerging from the meeting and returning to his hotel, President Paul Biya was visibly happy with the outcome, and his body language portrayed a president ready to continue doing business with France. Achu Nyenti, Vincent Bolo, on national assignment, Paris, France.
Cameroon has sent athletes to compete in every Summer Olympic Games except the 1976 edition since the start of the event in 1964 in Tokyo, Japan. The last time the country appeared on the medal chart of the Games was in 2012 in London, when Medias Nguesso won bronze in the women's 75 kilogram weightlifting. Ben Collins Nyeberiwo went finding out what Cameroonians are thinking about the participation of the six flag bearers of the nation at this year's edition of the Olympic Games.
The fastest map in Africa, a strong boy.
Debates about the possible results of Cameroonian athletes at this year's Olympic Games in Paris animate drinking sports in Yaoundé. Though small in numbers compared to the last edition in Tokyo, Japan, where Cameroon was represented by 12 athletes, this sports fan believes among the six ambassadors of the country to the Paris Olympics, one will win a medal.
I'm called Tata Majoli Fifi. I'm confident that among these athletes, one will win a medal. And I'm thinking about Emmanuel Esseme.
The six Cameroonian athletes will be competing in four different sports disciplines. And if there are doubts in athletics, the trick can be played in judo, swimming and table tennis.
My name is Neba. This time around, Cameroon has presented very few athletes. And the 100 meters, not really seeing Emmanuel Seme doing something because Seme has dropped. Where I think that we can have hopes, you know, Sopimbela, Rachel, Anita, with her, we can hope of having a medal.
And in swimming and table tennis,
table tennis has been dominated with Koreans and the Chinese. So Sarah, Hanfu, Nana, if we can have something the better. And then with the two swimmers that we have, that's there just to represent us.
As the Summer Olympic Games get underway in Paris, France, the pious hope of many Cameroonians is to see all the six athletes come back home with medals.
CRTV News. The 13th edition of the Fair on Government Action, SAGO, ends this Saturday in Yaoundé. The event at the Multipurpose Sports Complex permitted state and private institutions to expose their services to the public. The theme of this year's edition of the SAGO is governance and improvement of living conditions for citizens. The Minister of Social Affairs has called on her collaborators and partners to intensify discussions on protecting the rights of indigenous peoples and engaging them into inclusive initiatives in Cameroon. Minister Pauline Irene Guinea was speaking in Yaoundé while chairing a ceremony to celebrate Cameroon's 16th edition of the International Day of Indigenous Peoples, pegged under the theme Access to Citizenship, a Fundamental Right for the Indigenous Peoples. Minister Pauline Irene Guinea also used the occasion to emphasize that the inclusion of such vulnerable groups of people is part of her ministry's prerogative. She spoke to Joyce Cliff Tata.
Beyond the permanent advocacy and sectorial actions undertaken by the various stakeholders, citizenship education for indigenous people will enable them to exercise their right to participate in public life in several areas and bring about the desired changes for their social inclusion for these communities. It is a question of ensuring their participation in social and economic life, their participation in political life, in a nutshell, their participation in sustainable development, and therefore the social inclusion of indigenous people and communities.
Six four-wheel drive Toyota Land Cruisers have been offered to the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development to facilitate the monitoring of World Food Programme-sponsored activities in Cameroon's rural areas. The keys to the vehicles were handed to Minister Gabriel Mbairobi in Yaoundé by the outgoing World Food Programme Country Director, Wanja Karia. The WFP country representative, in the following excerpt of an interview, applauds the collaborative support received from partner ministries during her four-year mandate in Cameroon.
The Minister of Agriculture in Cameroon has been a very strong collaborator, actually the World Food Programme's interlocutor in the country, and we have worked very, very closely in the last 4 years. Today was to just mention to His Excellency the Minister about my departure and to thank him for the strong collaboration that we've had, and particularly the support that we are both providing to school children, where we are providing school meals provided by local agriculture producers. So this is also boosting the local economy. The World Food Programme will be giving a total of 6 vehicles to His Excellency the Minister to continue with improved reach in the field to enhance our collaboration.
356 Cadet Superintendent of Police and Cadet Assistant Superintendent of Police from Cameroonian and Congolese nationalities have been awarded end-of-course diplomas and epaulets. This was during a dual ceremony to award labor medals to some senior civil servants of the National Security Corps at the National Advanced School Police School in Yaoundé. The event was presided over by the Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bargangile. Lawyers and judicial actors in the Northwest region have been schooled on the 2023 amendments on the 1998 Uniform Act on simplified recovery and enforcement measures. The training was organized in Bamenda by the Senior Counsel Ngula Fotso and Associates. Out of the country, a convicted mass murderer in South Africa known as the Apartheid Killer has died. Louis Van Schoo, aged 72, had been in hospital with infection on his leg. His daughter said he died on Thursday due to complications from sepsis. Van Schoof's death came less than a week after a BBC investigation in his past, which exposed horrific new details about a series of killings he carried out in the late 1980s during the final years of white minority rule in South Africa. CRTV News.